Praise the Lord. That was good. Thank you, ensemble. And I trust you do appreciate the special music, all the special music, the singing, the instruments. Everybody that plays something or sings, they practice and they work hard. And it's a blessing. And I hope that you appreciate it. And you let them know how much you appreciate it when someone sings a special, plays a special. Just let them know how much it meant to you. It adds to the service, I'll be honest. Can you imagine if we didn't have a piano or organ? Now, some churches do that on purpose. I don't know why. But anyway, can you imagine if there was no singing and we all just sat and looked at each other? It'd be kind of boring, wouldn't it? But boy, it was exciting. I love having all the instruments and, of course, the ensemble, the choir. All our special music, I appreciate it. We do have a tour group coming from West Coast Baptist College on next week in the evening service, so we're looking forward to that. And, you know, I like to hear the tour groups and everything, but I'll be honest with you, I like to hear our own people. I just enjoy it. I love it. I love it. We have our men's prayer time, and we have, I believe, the fourth through sixth grade, maybe it's first through third grade, right above us. Is that you, Bob? Are you guys up there? Right above us. And I love hearing the kids sing. I just enjoy it, and it's exciting. So praise the Lord for the good music here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You know, I believe God enjoys it. I believe God likes it. I think He loves to hear praise, and He inhabits the praises of Israel. I believe He inhabits our praises. And these songs and this singing, it's certainly a blessing to Him, I believe. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16, we continue talking about dwelling with God. We talked about that this morning, and I talked about the building of the temple and how God planned it all. God laid the foundation. God builds the temple, and we see that in the Old Testament, but we also see it in our own lives, and that was the comparison, how that our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. We can dwell with God. He dwells in us. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16 is one of the passages that talks about that. He says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." That's talking to believers. That is by far the majority of people here tonight. Folks who've been saved, folks who've trusted Christ as Savior. Very, very clear. God doesn't want His temple defiled. God wants it to be treated the way that it was planned to be. He wants to dwell in us. He wants to fellowship with us. He wants to be a blessing to us. Can you imagine? I mean, God dwells in you. That's a blessing. That's not God that's far off. That's a God that's right here. That's not a God that you have to somehow get His attention somewhere. That's a God who you already have His attention. He dwells in us. And so I want to talk to you about that tonight. And again, dwelling with God is the title. And it is part two from this morning. Father, I pray you bless the preaching, and that you will speak to our hearts, give us exactly what we need tonight, and help us to be excited about dwelling with you. Lord, you chose to dwell with us, and we ought to be thrilled. What a privilege. What a wonderful privilege it is to have you dwelling in us and to be a temple for you. I pray you'll bless and speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we talked about how it was God's will to dwell with us. How that God chose to come down as when He created man, He came down to Adam and Eve in the garden. He dwelled with them. He enjoyed that, enjoyed the fellowship. And of course, then there came sin. Adam and Eve sinned against God, and God had to do something so that man could dwell with Him again. And so God instituted the tabernacle and the sacrificial system and all of that. And so while Israel, God's people, were in the wilderness, God said, "I want to dwell with you." So He told them how to build the tabernacle. All the plans were His, and the design and everything was His. And it was a way for God to dwell with the people then. Then when God's people were in Jerusalem, He instructed them on building the temple, and they did that. And God was able to dwell with them. And then God came down. Amen. We're getting ready to celebrate Christmas again. For Vacation Bible School, and we're going to celebrate the Incarnation. We're going to celebrate Isaiah 7:14. We're going to celebrate how that God came, Emmanuel, God with us, and God came down, and He dwelt with man so that He could live a perfect life, so that He could be crucified and die on the cross and pay for our sins, so that He could dwell within us. And of course, He was raised from the dead, and he went to heaven, and he came as the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And when a person gets saved, he comes in and lives inside of that person. Ever since I was 17 years old, the Holy Spirit of God has indwelt this temple, this body. He's come and he's made his abode with me here in this temple. If you're saved today, and most of the folks profess to be saved here, then he dwells inside of you. What a blessing that is. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God? You know, it seems like we need to tell some folks that. Know ye not that you're the temple of God? I didn't say the temple of a small g god. I said we're the temple of God. He dwells inside of that. Know ye not that you're the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Wow. Tonight I want to talk to you about the purpose of the temple and make the comparisons again as we looked at this morning. And number one is it's the habitation of God. Exodus 25:8, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. The habitation of God. Where does God dwell on the earth? In us. Wow. I mean, seriously, think about that. Not a building made with hands. In us. Not something that, you know, this great structure. And you know, a lot of times people get a little mixed up we need to go into the church and take good care of that. And we should take care of the church, and I'm not against all that. But understand, this building here is not where God dwells. You understand? When we all leave here, he's not in this building. Now, he blesses the building, and he's provided a wonderful building, and we need to take care of the building, but it's not his dwelling place, except when we're in here. When we're in here, then he's in here. When we're not in here, he's with us. He dwells in us. He dwells in our bodies. We are the temple. Amen. I'm excited about the building. You know, some folks, their building is so precious, but they don't care about their temple. The building is so wonderful, but they don't pay any attention to where God is actually dwelling. Isn't it amazing that we'll come to church and we'll try to have the right kind of thoughts and everything in church, but then we take our temple out of church and we put it in front of a television, and we drag the temple into a real mess. Hello. Do you understand? None of this is in my notes, so this is all free. Every part of all of this is free right now. Do you understand the garbage that you're watching on your television? I mean, I'm talking about the bad stuff, the wicked stuff, cussing and swearing, all that kind of stuff. What if we decided to show it on this screen sometime? Some of you would be absolutely horrified. Man, I'm having a good time. You'd be horrified. You'd have a fit. Did you see what Pastor wanted to put on the screen? I can't believe that. But you sit in your living room and watch it with the temple. You watch it with the eyes of the temple. Huh? What if we put your favorite websites up here on the screen someday? You say you're being carnal. Well, I would think if I was being carnal, I'd say let's all watch all that stuff. Anyway, I'll get back to the notes. It's okay, I've got other stuff coming. But I'm just saying, you know, we are the temple. That's exciting to me. And it's the habitation of God. We're saved because God's not willing that any should perish. We're saved because God loves us and he wants to take us to heaven. We're saved because God wanted to be able to fellowship with man and he wants to dwell in us. His love seeks our fellowship. We're a spiritual house. We're a spiritual temple for God to dwell in. And only believers have that privilege. Only believers have that temple, their bodies, where God can dwell inside. And we're saved to provide a dwelling place for God where he can dwell with us. Without salvation, it couldn't take place. It would not take place. It says that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. It is, number one, the habitation of God. Number two, it's a place of peace. See, not only is this, and I realize, you know, we're sitting here saying, well, you know, that boy, that worked out real good for God. No, it really works out good for you. But I want to show you why, because in the temple, if you think of the temple, it's a place of peace. Look at Haggai chapter 2, verse 9. Some of you are saying, Haggai? Is that in the Bible? Yeah, it really is. Haggai chapter 2 and verse 9. Wait a minute, and I'll give you a page number in your super giant print King James Bible. 1,444. That's because the letters are so big. See, for you, it's probably page 690. What page is it? Page 2? That's not funny. That's so bad. Haggai 2, verse 9, it says, "The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts, and in this place will I give peace." In this place will I... But, by the way, he's talking here about the second temple, and everybody was all upset and bent out of shape. Well, it's not as great as the first one and all this kind of stuff. But that second temple, Jesus would go in. Amen. And so that's an exciting thing. But anyway, the point of the matter is, he says, I'm going to give peace. Now, dwelling with God, there is peace. Are you with me? Okay, you say, well, I know where you're headed and I don't like the direction. You already got on one. No, listen to me. Peace. Exodus 33:14, he said, my presence shall go with thee and I will give thee rest. Amen. Peace. Anytime I think of the temple, and by the way, you think about the high priest, the only one allowed in the Holy of Holies within the temple, and that was separated by a thick veil, and it would be very, very peaceful and quiet in there. And when there were times of war or times of trials and difficulties, that high priest could enter into that Holy of Holies, and he'd have perfect peace. Perfect peace alone with God. You say, what's that have to do with me? It has everything to do with you and I, because the Holy of Holies dwells within us. That peace is available to you. You say, well, I just need to get away. No, you just need to get alone with Him. You just need to dwell and let Him realize that He dwells inside of you, and He will give peace. He gives it. It's free. And peace. My peace, he says, I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart... You know, we're so troubled about all kinds of things, and peace dwells within us. You know, we have people today, and I remember back in the 70s, hey, peace, dude. And, actually, they didn't say dude. I don't even remember what we did say, but they did, peace. I watch kids nowadays, they're going around like, you don't have any idea what you're even talking about. But anyway, peace, man. And all that. And they didn't have any idea. We have people today say, well, we're just looking for peace. Look, when you get saved, peace is here. It's here. Peace is here. It can storm and I have peace. The troubles can come and you can have peace. Because peace dwells with you, just like in the Holy of Holies. And that high priest would say, boy, there's trouble, there's war, there's all kinds of problems. And he would go into that Holy of Holies, and that veil was a thick veil, and he would get alone with God there, and he'd have peace. Peace. Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's in us. That's in every believer. Again, so many times as a pastor, I watch people that are all shook up about so many things, and I say, wait a minute. God is dwelling inside of you. And that place can be a place of peace if you'll let it. If you'll let it be. It's a place of peace. Another thing, it's a place of strength and beauty. Look at Psalms 96. And verse 6, the book of Psalms 96. And verse 6. Honor and majesty are before Him. And look what it says. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Now, if I'm His sanctuary now, that means there's strength and beauty there. Amen. His strength, His beauty. The balance of God literally dwells inside of me. It's the same balance where we see His strength and the punishment, but we see the beauty and His mercy. We see His strength, and that's the law, but we see His beauty, and that's His grace. That dwells inside of me. That dwells in the believer. There is a balance in the temple of strength and beauty. Of course, the temple itself, the foundation would be very strong, but above that foundation would be beauty. If you study the tabernacle, you can see it so clearly with the tabernacle and the strength of all the things that were that were made and how strong that was, and yet how beautiful everything was. That's how it is with God. God is a rock, but God is also love. God is our strength, but God is also my comfort. You know, you don't think of strong being a comfort. You don't think of that strength being comforting, but with God, that's how it is. It's a complete and perfect balance. And where God may chasten you, God does it because He loves you. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. That's an amazing thing about God. What a balance. Now, we as parents, we're not always so consistent. We're not always so good about that balance with our children. But that's how we should be. That strength and that beauty, the two go so well together. And that is available in the temple. That's available in you. You say, I just wish I could have a balanced life. It's there. It's there because He dwells there. It's like the strength. I'm taking a stand for what's right. I'm hating sin. But then the beauty. But I love the sinner. Isn't that something? That's in you. You say, boy, I don't see it in there. I just don't see it. I have a hard time dealing with that. You know, I have a hard time. So-and-so did me wrong, so I'm going to get him. Ah, but see, God's balance. If you'll draw on the one who dwells within you, you can get that thing whipped. Yeah, but they wronged me, and I'm going to hate them. No. You're unbalanced. Strength is they were wrong. It's wicked. It's sin. God says it's wrong. Beauty, but I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to forgive them. See, that's what's in us. That's what's available to you because God dwells. People say, you know, how do you put up with and how do you do and how do you? There's only one way, and that's because of the one who dwells inside me. I was talking to somebody the other day and going through some of these things and just, you know, somebody asked me, are you bitter about different things? And I said, praise the Lord, no, I'm not bitter about anything. I can't think of anything that I'm bitter about. And praise the Lord, it has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with the one who dwells inside of me. And that's available to you. You know, well, there's folks all over this room. You've got issues. I'm telling you, you really do. And you're unbalanced in your life. And you can tell. You can tell. You're unstable, as James puts it. And because you're unbalanced in your life and you know, you got the law right. You got that law part right. They're wrong. They did wrong. Now they die. But you forgot about the grace. And you forgot about the mercy. And you forgot about love. Yeah. Yeah, it's like we were in men's prayer time and Brother Mormon announced that a famous abortionist was just murdered. And somebody, and who knows who did it? I don't know. I know there are Christian people who'd say they would be justified to do that. I say they wouldn't. I don't believe that. And I believe it'll give us a bad name and no matter what, because that's exactly what everybody's looking for, is to give us a bad name. But my point is this. You know, you ever feel like, oh, I just could wring their neck? But see, Jesus had every right to wring our necks. But instead, He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And that's because of the balance. Now balance, all balance dwells within me. It dwells within me. You are, you know, I have a right to be angry. Sure you do. But you also have within you the ability not to be. Because He dwells inside of you. He had a right to be angry. He had a right to just speak and wipe out everybody. But He didn't. He didn't. And that balance is such a wonderful thing. Strength and beauty. You know, the beauty of the Christian life is something so many of your friends and neighbors and loved ones aren't seeing. Bless God, I'm going to take my stand. Yeah, but are they seeing the beauty? I'm for taking a stand. I believe in it. I believe we ought to take a stand. And I take my stand. But people need to see the love of Jesus too. Somebody say amen. I'm feeling all alone. Huh? I know this isn't that fun, but this is all true. And he who is balanced dwells within us. He who is strength and beauty, and that's promised for his sanctuary. That's me. That's me. You know what's the greatest testimony is that Christian that shows both, because you're showing an attribute of God. You're showing that, yes, the Holy Spirit must dwell within you, because you could not do that on your own. Same way with having peace during trials. It is no different. You know, people say, how can you go through that and be at peace? I don't know. That's a peace that passes understanding, isn't it? Yeah, that's because he dwells there. And that strength and beauty is because he dwells there too. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, I believe the Bible's the word of God, and I believe in the law. But you're going to let everybody around you go to hell because you won't tell them about Jesus? Where's your love? Where's your compassion? See, that's part of the balance that is within you because God dwells in you. Number four, it's also a place of holiness. Look at Psalm 93, the Psalms. 93 and verse 5. It's a place of holiness. Psalm 93 and verse 5. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Now, the house is to be holy because of the one who inhabits it. He says, as I am holy, be ye holy. Do you understand? The temple is just a building without the Holy of Holies. If he doesn't dwell there, it's just a building. The same thing about peace. Our building, when it's empty, it's very peaceful in here. I've come in this auditorium, several people have come in, and nobody's here, and it's very quiet, and we can spend some time alone with God and pray. But it's not peace in my heart because the building is quiet. It's peace in my heart because he who is peace dwells in me. It's not a holy place because we say so. It's a holy place because it's his place. And it's indwelt by those who are indwelt with him who is holy. Amen. And it's just a building without... The temple that was built was just a building. The tabernacle was just a tent without the Holy of Holies. That's what made it holy. His presence. You and I, without him dwelling in us, we're not holy. No, we're lost. I read through that list, and somebody came and approached me about that list, you know, and all those different things. And it said, and such were some of you. Yeah. But see, when we got saved, we became holy. Because holiness dwells in us. And there's two thoughts I have about this. And the first thought is this: holiness is personal. You try to imagine that high priest and he's going into that holy of holies within the temple or within the tabernacle, and it was a secret place. And as I mentioned earlier, it was separated by a veil. And he goes into that secret place, and it's God's personal place with him. It was a place that only he could go. He was the only one allowed inside. I'm sure others wanted to. I'm sure others were really curious about that, but it was his place. It was his personal place with God. You know what's so sad is we don't take advantage of that place with God. It's our personal place. And I think a lot of people are afraid because God is so holy. That holy of holies and the bell and the pomegranate and the bell and the pomegranate and yet, you know, so everybody could hear that the high priest was still alive. Why? Because God's holy. And if the high priest goes in there and does something wrong, he dies. Yeah. Well, preacher, I just don't know. Oh, listen, it's personal. He said, but you know what he said to us? And it amazes me in Hebrews. I quote this many, many times. He says that we can come boldly. come boldly. I don't have a bell and a pomegranate at the end of my pants. You don't have to listen when I go to God. You don't have to listen to hear if I'm still alive. Amen. You don't have to listen to, you know, and it wasn't just for that. It was the people could rejoice over that. But I'm just saying, you don't have to, you can come. He says, now he says, you can come boldly with confidence. To the why? Because Jesus paid it all. Because in Christ we are holy, we're righteous, we're saved, we're forgiven. Our sins are blotted out. Amen? They're gone. G-O-N-E, gone. Holiness is personal. But you see, here's your problem. And it's a problem with so many people. You don't spend time with God because your life is not where it ought to be. Now, I would encourage you to go ahead and come boldly to His throne. I would encourage you always to have a time when you go to Him. First, to start off adoring Him. Second, to confess. He knows we're not worthy. He knows we don't deserve that. But He wants to fellowship with you so bad. Holiness is personal. Thank God for that. But we miss it because we don't pay any attention. God dwells in you. I'm amazed how many people think they have to come to church in order to pray. You ought to pray in your car. Well, wouldn't I wreck? You don't close your eyes when you talk to anybody else. I hope. I'm not saying you shouldn't close your eyes. I'm not saying you shouldn't. You know, obviously we need to bow and pray, but you can talk to God anywhere. He dwells in you. And you should talk to God anywhere. He wants the fellowship. He chose to dwell with you. Well, yeah, what would we talk about? Well, you might want to start out talking about why you haven't been talking to Him. Well, preacher, you don't understand. I mean, I've got my own agenda and everything. Yeah, I would talk to Him about that. Somebody said just, I believe it was just this morning, said something about, yeah, I told God I didn't like this or I didn't appreciate it. Yeah, good, tell Him. Talk to Him. It's okay. Yeah, if you think it, you might as well tell Him. It's amazing how, I wouldn't dare say that. No, but you'd think it. Right, right. Holiness is personal. But then holiness is purity. Purity. When you think about that Holy of Holies, you know, I always think of purity. I mean, God dwells in me. God who you know, He is holy. He is holiness. And it reminds me of purity. I think about, you know, and I enjoyed the tabernacle study and that the laver outside before you could even get into the holy place, before you could get into the Holy of Holies, washing your hands, washing your feet, getting all cleaned up to go in there before the presence of God Almighty. Purity. Now, we're not going to be perfect here on this earth, but we sure should be trying to be. Shouldn't we? We should be trying so hard and doing our very best. I think about, and one comparison that I use many times when I'm counseling people is saving themselves for their spouse. Anything else is immoral. Anything, I mean, it's ungodly, it's wrong. Anything else is ungodly and it's wicked. And I always think about the high priest in the Holy of Holies and how he was the only one allowed in there. It was off limits to anybody else. And there is a part of a person that is off limits to anyone except their spouse. That's why the Bible says it's good for a man not to touch a woman. If he can't handle it, get married. Then I start thinking about other things, and I think about purity, and I think, well, if there is a part of me that is off limits to anyone except my spouse, then certainly as I'm growing up as a teenager or anything else, it would seem that I would not want to show that to anybody else. And it just lended itself perfectly to my little summer encouragement. And I got to thinking, Brother Hawkins, I got to thinking about that veil. Stay with me now, especially you teen girls and their moms and their dads who obviously aren't paying attention or are scared of their mom. I thought about that veil. Did you know God doesn't make that out of lace? God never tempts us to peek into the Holy of Holies. Why? Because it's personal, it's private, it's for no one else. And God gives you a veil, it's called clothes, from your neck to your knees. You say, well, we like to go mix swimming. I think you ought to go mix swimming as long as the neck to the knees is covered. Amen. God doesn't say, hey, get a little peek into the Holy of Holies. No, it's pure. It's not for anybody else. The high priest is the only one allowed. And you know, some of you gals, I'm serious, you are letting people peek where they ought not peek. You say, well, they shouldn't look. No, you shouldn't tempt them. And you know, your little skirts with their little slits, that's not right. It's out of hell. And you're not honoring the temple. You're desecrating the temple. Amen. I know it's not popular, and I understand, but it doesn't matter. I'm preaching the Word of God. And we are to be pure, and we're to do our very best to be pure. We're not to be showing ourselves off. Low tops, high skirts, all of that is not from God. It's out of Hollywood, and it is ruining Christianity, and it is going to ruin you. No wonder you don't talk to God. How would you talk to God when your thighs are uncovered? Which he says not to. He says that's nakedness. Amen. There's no lace in the veil. God doesn't pull the veil down a little bit so you can peek. He doesn't lift it up a little bit so somebody can look in. The high priest doesn't say, hey boy, this is sure great over here. Hey, get a look over here. Never. Why? Because that's between God and the high priest. It's private and personal. And I'm afraid. I'm honestly afraid because I see it in Christianity. I see it around here where we've just sort of forgotten about good old-fashioned standards that honor God because we're so afraid what everybody else might think. Now, I'll be honest with you. I understand why the heathen dress the way they do. I understand that. I still haven't quite figured out piercing yourself all over the place and having chains attaching it all together. I still haven't figured out guys whose pants are falling off. The reason I don't figure that out and the reason I have trouble with that is because I've got a little bit of a problem right here that forces my pants down some. And I'm just being honest with you. I don't like it. And I certainly would never want to walk anywhere like this. I don't understand that. I understand half-naked women because they have something to advertise. And when the unsaved are doing, I understand unsaved people doing that. I understand the world doing that. That all makes sense to me. What I don't understand is a Christian young lady doing that. I don't get it. It just skin tight stuff. There's only one reason for that. See, my stuff gets tight. Okay, I'm going to think this coat might be a little problem here. No, not bad. Now it's bad. You know, I thought about wearing a t-shirt. Because I can laugh at myself. I'd like to show some of you ladies what you look like. I didn't point anybody out. I didn't say any names. You know who you are because you look in the mirror at it. But I'm serious. Rolls. That's not why we sing when the roll is called up yonder. Okay? And you want to shrink wrap it. You say, no, I'm real pretty. And you want to shrink wrap that. And that's wrong too. See, one just doesn't make sense. The other is wicked. Holiness, purity, something that is sacred to God. Something that is sacred to your spouse someday. Think how the high priest felt when he knew he was the only one. I'm the only one that could be in this place. What a privilege, what an honor. Some of you girls, some of you guys are going to rob your spouse someday of that privilege. You rob them of seeing it because you flash it all over the place anyway. By the way, guys, we don't want to see your chest either. It's just, you know, we've become so worldly. And I'm talking about dwell. Do you understand God dwells inside of you? God. It's a place of holiness. Holiness is purity. Look real quick, Matthew 21. Matthew 21. We would never, ever think about this in reference to our bodies, but we should. Matthew 21, 12. The Bible says, and Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And he cast it out of the temple. What do you suppose Jesus would like to cast out of your temple? You say, well, preacher, those people were desecrating the temple. They were buying and selling and doing all. I've had folks get upset, you know, about did you know so-and-so brought water into the auditorium? Yeah. And then they go home and drink liquor. I'd much rather have water in the auditorium than wine in your belly. Right? Oh, I can tell I'm going nowhere. But see, if Jesus were to come, what would he cast out? You think of something right now. What would he cast out of your temple? Let me close with number five. Not only was it a place of strength and beauty and holiness, it was a place where God's glory could be revealed. And it was revealed. Haggai 2. Back to Haggai again. 40-something in your super giant print Bible. 1,444, Haggai 2:7, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The place where God's glory was revealed. You know, people drive by Berean Baptist Church, and they might say, wow, that's a nice church. And they might say, wow, that's a beautiful yard. They might say, wow, look at the trimming. I mean, no. They might say, boy, God sure has blessed that church. And that's a good thing. And sometimes people do. But I'm going to tell you what really gives God the glory. It's not our parking lot. Brett just did a great job bringing more stone in on the alley. But the alley doesn't necessarily give God the glory. Buses are nice, but they don't necessarily give God the glory. They do some, but not anywhere near what you do. You're the temple. I'm the temple. And it's a place where God's glory is revealed. Look at Psalm 29, verse 9. Just about done. Psalm 29 and verse 9. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve and discovereth the forest, and in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. Does everything in your temple speak of God's glory? Or are you giving someone else that glory that God deserves? I'll close with 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. What a wonderful blessing that God would choose to dwell with me, to dwell in you. There is no comparison to it in any religion, any other thinking. And even if it did in any other religion, it'd be a small g, God. God in heaven. God, creator of all, made it possible for him to dwell in us. And we're bought with a price. So he says, glorify me. Glorify me. What's that mean? Bring glory to him. This is your life. Hey, you know, you that tore up that poem and messed up that poem, are you bringing glory to God by doing that? Does that glorify God? Your actions, your hatred towards somebody? Does that glorify God? Huh? You know, the things you watch, things you read, where we go, is that bringing glory to God or is it bringing glory to another? He deserves it all. He does. I know we fail. Every one of us fails. But that's why 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible. And we need to get it right with him because he deserves the glory. God, it's so good that you dwell with us. Help me to be a good house for you to dwell in. Let's bow our heads, please.